السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
أبو عبد الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله رب العالمين.
نبدأ.
نعم يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our reading is from the book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله أبو عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل. Al-Imam al-Bukhari has compiled this book, as we say repeatedly, regarding the adab of a Muslim. How does a Muslim conduct himself in line with the precepts of Islam? How does Islam regulate the lines of conduct of the Muslim? This is what you have in the book Al-Adab al-Mufrad, compiled from the narrations, from the statements, from the actions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and his proverbs, together with his companions radiyallahu anhum, and those who were upon what they were upon. In the last class, we started from Hadith 583, which was a story told to us by one of the tabi'un, Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri Rahimahullah Ibn Abi Al-Hasan. He told us a story about a man who was passing away, fa'awsa mawlahu bibnihi, and then he handed over his son to his freed slave. A man was passing away, he handed his son to his freed slave, and this man nurtured this young boy until he grew up. And the boy requested to be prepared. He said, "Jahaz jahizni atlubul ilm, prepare me so that I can proceed to go and study." Fajahazahu, he prepared him to go and study. And this young boy came to a learned person and asked. He said, "How do I proceed upon learning? What are the things to learn first? And what are the manners I should hold on to?" And the learned person said to him, "Idha aratta an tantaliq, faqul li u'allimuk. On the day you actually prepare to depart, tell me, wa'allimuk, I will teach you these matters you have asked about." So the day of his departure came. He came to the learned person upon the agreements they had had. And this learned person gave him three pieces of advice. Qal, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ وَاصْبِرْ وَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلْ. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ وَاصْبِرْ وَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلْ. These were the three pieces of advice, the first lessons this boy learned from the scholar was اتَّقِ اللَّهَ. The second was وَاصْبِرْ. The third is وَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلْ. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ, fear Allah, be conscious of Allah regarding everything you say, regarding everything you do. Ittaqillaha, fear Allah. Be certain that Allah has punishments, and the way to escape that punishment from Allah is through at-taqwa. Fearing to get punished by Allah will make you employ the means to make you avoid that punishment, and that is by obeying his instructions and abstaining from his prohibitions. Oh brothers, this is the first thing about our Deen Islam, at-taqwa. So knowledge will be beneficial. In fact, this Shaykh, instead of beginning to say to him, you have to be this, you have to be that, you have to learn an-nahw, you have to learn as-sarf. This man was a Muslim. The young boy grew up as a Muslim. And this Shaykh told him just three statements. I am sure if it were today, we will consider these three pieces of advice as small. Just three things. Oh, Shaykh, I want to travel all over the world to acquire knowledge and then return to teach the people. You have just these three things to tell me. Because in our times, we have the third problem. Al-Istijal. We are very, very hasty these days. And we, in the hastiness, we do not think about matters deeply because of our hastiness these days. A person would meet a scholar just for a day. The scholar will say to him, even speak to him for hours, and he will still think that he has not gained anything. Because these days, even in the way we think about the lessons we have learnt, we are hasty largely. So the Shaykh said to him, ittaqillaha. This one will influence all, every aspect of his life. The second thing, wasbir, as-sabru, when you are upon taqwa. If you want to observe salah during the cold, you need as-sabr. If you want to go out for Salatul Fajr at the time you are feeling a bit sleepy, you need as-sabr. So sabr is required in the ta'atillah. When you obey Allah, you need sabr. When you distance yourself from the things that Allah has prohibited, you need as-sabr. When things that do not please you, things that discomfort you and bring inconvenience to you, when they happen to you, you need a sabr. These three things will happen on your path of learning. When you begin to learn to study, you need sabr. You need sabr to be able to follow what you learn. You need sabr to abstain from the prohibitions upon the path of learning. You need a sabr to be patient with the difficulty you face. You study a lesson you don't understand. You need a sabr to be able to read it again, to study again, to ask your fellows, to ask your colleagues to explain to you. You need a sabr. A teacher was supposed to be teaching you for 1 hour. He chose to teach you and crash the week's lesson for 3 hours. You need a sabr to manage in that class. A teacher was harsh to you today for whatever reason. He behaved harshly to you in class today. You need a sabr because you need his knowledge. If you do not show that sabr, you will miss the knowledge, and ignorance is worse for you than being patient. So you choose to be patient intelligently so that you gain the knowledge and then you go away. Without sabr, it is difficult to learn. It is this reason that many people are ignorant of Islam today. They were brought to Arabic schools to Islamic lessons, and then they became impatient. They became impatient, and they have to go out of those schools. Parents, remove children from schools today where those schools will really, really be very beneficial to their children. Because of impatience. Some parents want the child to know it all today. Some parents want schools to be like hotels, and they are quite different. Things that will happen in a hotel, things that will happen in a hotel may not happen in a school. Things that will happen in a school may not happen in a hotel. On the path of learning, it may not be all convenient at every point in time. It's about convenience. In fact, the scholars would always say that inna hadha al-amra la yunalu bi rahati al-jasad. Inna hadha al-amra la yunal. This affair, this scholarship, la yunal. It cannot be reached. It cannot be attained bi rahati al-badan aw al-jasad. By you being convenient and luxurious at every point in time, it is difficult for a student to achieve scholarship. He has to wake up in the middle of the night to memorize his work, to learn his work, to repeat his work, leave sleep aside, leave food aside sometimes, trek long distances, and all of this. So upon the path of knowledge, sabr is required. The third thing the Sheikh said to that boy was Adam al-Istija. He said to him, Ittaqillaha wasbir wala tastajil. Fear Allah in every circumstance. Be patient. Wala tastajil. This Adam al-Istija, not being hasty, is referred to as At-Tu'da. At-Tu'da that we are discussing under Babu Tu'dati fil Umur. Having a ta'ani, looking at things carefully, not being hasty, what the thabutu, checking at things properly verifying, wa'adamu ta'ajjuli fil umur, and not being hasty in your affairs. This is what is referred to as what? At-tu'da. In the last class, we explained how beneficial it was for that boy. The first lessons he learned on the first day to seek knowledge benefited him in his life, because the man who brought him up, he would have killed the man if he was hasty and he did not maintain at-ta'anni wa at-tathabbut, which is the meaning of at-tu'da. At-tu'da or at-tu'ada refers to looking at things carefully, not being in a haste, verifying properly before you take an action or before you give a speech, before you say something. Look at it very well. Think about it properly. Think about the immediate and later repercussions, good and bad. Weigh it well before you say it. This is part of what at-tu'ada. Looking at it properly, verifying before you take a position and begin to blame somebody for something. Look at it very well. Think about it. If you blame him, what will your blaming him bring to him or her in the circumstance? Look at the matter properly. Be careful. Be diligent. Research properly before you say what you say or before you act as you act. This is the meaning of what at-tu'ada or at-tu'da fil umur. Al-Imam al-Bukhari gave us that story, very, very beneficial story, in Hadith 583 and in 584 and 585, 586 and 587. He gave us a number of reports from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In the chapter, he retitled again as Babu Tu'dati fil Umur, the second chapter about At-Tu'da. What this tells us is that as far as our deen Islam is concerned, the individual requires At-Tu'da in his affairs. At-Tu'da or At-Tu'ada is something we all require in our religion. Before you say something and ascribe it to Allah, think about it properly, research it properly, ask out, find out the views of the scholars from time, look at it very well, research it properly, be careful, understand the implications of your presentation, select your words, merge your expressions properly, give a good delivery. In all of these, you are making a tu adafi amrika. You are making a ta'anni wa tathabutu wal bu'du an il istijal. These are the things that you are doing. Don't be hasty, oh brother, because al-ajalatu min ash-shaytan. Now, before I proceed, there is something where a tu ada is not employed and should not be employed. There's an aspect of our life as Muslims where you don't have to start holding back. You don't have to start looking backwards. You don't have to start trying to say, hey, will I do it or will I not do it? And that is regarding amalul akhirah, regarding al-a'malus saliha, good deeds, regarding fasting in the month of Ramadan, for example. Someone should not, on the first day of fasting, on the second day, third, fourth, fifth day of Ramadan, he's being asked, have you started fasting in Ramadan? And he says, no, I'm being careful. I want to check properly. No, in these matters, to ada, or holding back, saying that you are careful, is unacceptable. The same thing applies. The imam in the masjid starts salah, Allahu Akbar, in takbiratul ihram. And then the individual is outside the masjid. He is asked, why are you not joining the jama'ah? He says, no, I'm careful. I don't want to be hasty. In these kinds of matters, atu ada is not employed. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, atu ada tu fi kulli shay'in illa fi amal al-akhirah. Atu ada tu fi kulli shay'in illa fi al-amal al-akhirah. This hadith occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said that at-tu'udatu fi kulli shay'in illa fi amal al-akhirah. Holding back, not being hasty to quickly do it and get it properly done. Holding back, this holding back is in everything. Fi kulli shay, you hold back when you want to discuss with people. You think well, you look well, you consider it deeply. But when it comes to observing salah, once it is announced, hayya ala salah, you hasten towards salah. Once it is said, hayya ala al-falah, you hasten towards success and victory and triumph. You do not say, I want to hold back first, I want to check something. No. Likewise, in the deeds of akhirah, you want to give sadaqah, you have the money with you, you are seeing someone, you can provide help, you just say, no, I want to hold back. That is not to say the way we live today, when about everywhere you go, you have someone asking you, or you have posters all around, especially by women these days. Every time there's an inconvenience, you see a group of women, they started writing about and sending. The woman has a husband, the woman has a father, the woman has an uncle. Perhaps in all of these situations, then you find friends saying they want to gather the money to help her. Where is her husband? Where is her father? Where is her brother? Where are her uncles? Where are her relatives? Where is the community where she lives? Please, let's always be going through these steps before we begin to announce help, help, help. Where is the community where that person resides? Where is the husband? Where are the relatives? Ask this question when you want to put a helping hand. And that is because it is verified that many of the times, many things happen regarding these matters that are unwanted and that brings sadness to the mind. So we have to verify, to be sure that we are not duped, to be sure that somebody is not taking advantage, of our zeal to do good, of our good mind, inshallah, to do what is right. Somebody is not taking undue advantage of that. But as soon as we can be sure that this person is in this situation and he needs help, help quickly. Don't hold back. You know, this person is in this situation, he needs assistance, assist quickly. Don't hold back. These are the kinds of situations where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said to us that at-tu'udatu fi kulli shay'in illa fi amali al-akhirah. Holding back, looking carefully, is in everything except in the deeds of akhirah. So the Muslim still basically requires holding back, looking carefully, thinking deeply before he handles the matters of his dunya and then the matters of akhirah, as explained. Al-Imam al-Bukhari has mentioned this narration from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as hadith 584. He said, rahimahullah, haddathana Abu Ma'mar, qala haddathana Abdul Warith, qala haddathana Yunus an Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakra, an Ashajji Abdul Qais, qala liya al-Nabiyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, inna fika la khuluqain yuhibbuhum Allahu. قلت وما هما يا رسول الله قال الحلم والحياء قلت قديما كان أو حديثا قال قديما قلت الحمد لله الذي جبلني على خلقين أحبهم الله. The Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم spoke to a man. This man is called Ashajju. This man became called Al-Ashajju. Al-Ashajju itself was a nickname the Prophet gave to the man. The meaning of Al-Ashajju is a person who has a clearly visible mark on his face. If you have a clearly visible mark on your face, either on the forehead or on the cheek, a person who has a clearly visible mark on his face is called what? Ashajju. So this man, the Prophet called him alayhi salatu wasalam Ashajju. He gave him that as a nickname. Otherwise, his real name radiyallahu anhu is Munzir ibn A'iz al-Asari. Munziru ibn A'iz Allah is the one who asks Allah for protection. But his first name is Munzir. Munzir ibn A'iz al-Asari from Banu Abdul Qais. So he is called Ashajju Abdul Qais. The man is called Ashajju Abdul Qais, meaning that man who has a face mark, who is from the tribe of Abdul Qais. Abdul Qais is a tribe, very big, big tribe. They reside in the southeastern part of the Arabian subcontinent, near Bahrain or Ahsa, Hajar, this southeastern part of Saudi Arabia in present day world. Bahrain those days is far bigger. It was a huge region than it is today. Bahrain, Ahsa, Hajar, you see that occurs southeast of the Arabian Peninsula. These are the areas where you find the tribe Abdul Qais. Abdul Qais itself is the father of the tribe. So it's always called Abdul Qais. They are huge, they are large in number, and they are traders. They move from one place to the other. They are well known southeastern part, far southeast of the Arabian subcontinent, and one of them was this man Munzir ibn A'iz al-Asari that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam referred to as what? Al-Ashajju. And he became very popularly called by that name, Al-Ashajju. In fact, if you say Al-Ashajju amongst the scholars of Hadith, what they would rather add to your statement is Ashajju Abdul Qais. The Ashajju, who is from the tribe of Abdul Qais. Al-Imam al-Bukhari told us a story between this man, radiyallahu anhu, and the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, regarding carefulness, regarding diligence, regarding good intelligence. But Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported this hadith from his own sheikh, Abu Ma'mar. So he said, Haddathana Abu Ma'mar, that is Abdullah ibn Amr, Abu Ma'mar al-Basri. Abu Ma'mar, he is Abdullah ibn Amr, Abu Ma'mar al-Basri, rahimahullah. He is reporting from his own sheikh, Abdul Waris ibn Sa'd, Abdul Waris ibn Sa'd at-Tannawri, Abu Ubaidah, Abdul Waris, the sheikh of Abu Ma'mar. He is Abu Ubaidah, Abdul Waris ibn Sa'd at-Tannawri, rahimahullah. We would have loved to speak a bit about these people, but the report we want to discuss itself is so wide. The narration, the reports, the incidents between the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and Ashajju Abdul Qais was a very interesting matter, radiyallahu anhu. So the sheikh of the sheikh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith was Abdul Waris ibn Sa'd Abu Ubaidah at-Tannawri. He is reporting from Yunus ibn Ubaid al-Basri. Yunus ibn Ubaid al-Basri is the sheikh of Abdul Waris, rahimahumullah. We notice that this isnad is Musal Salun bil-Basriyin. It has in its chain the scholars from Basra. And he is reporting from Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr. Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr al-Basri al-Thaqafi was the one who was reporting it from Ashajju Abdul Qais, the person who reported this incidents from Ashajju Abdul Qais was Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr. To make a comprehensive study of this hadith, if we look at hadith 584, Al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported it from Ashajju Abdul Qais himself, Munzir ibn Aiz al-Asari. Ashajju Abdul Qais was the one reporting this hadith. He said, Qala liya al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to me. If we look at the next hadith, hadith 585, hadith 585, it occurs the same hadith, the same incidents between the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and Ashajju of Abdul Qais was reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu. And he said in his own hadith, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لأشج عبد القيس. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to أشج of Banu عبد القيس. In the third hadith, hadith 586, it was from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. He also said, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم للأشج Ashajji Abdul Qais. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala lil Ashajji. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Ashajj, which Ashajju? Ashajji Abdul Qais, the Ashajj that comes from the tribe of Abdul Qais. So these are reports. The first one was from Al Ashajju himself. The second was from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, and the third report was from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. Ashaju of Abdul Qais occurs in the tree. The same incidents reported by Ashaju himself in the first hadith in 584, reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri in 585, and reported by Abdullah ibn Abbas in 586. In all of these, Al-Imam al-Bukhari has his own isnad. In 585, his own sheikh was Ali ibn Abi Hashim. In 586, his own sheikh was Abdullah ibn Abdul Wahhab, Abu Muhammad al-Basri, rahimahumullah. Ashadju Abdul Qais, he said, قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ قَالَ لِيَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ. I like us to discuss these three reports as a single hadith. I like us to discuss these three reports as a single hadith. In the first one, 584, Ashadju himself, Munzir ibn A'idh al-Asari, was the one who reported it. In the second report, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri was the one who reported it. In the third report, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma was the one who reported it. These three ahadith are talking about something between the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and this man called Munzir ibn A'idh al-Ashaj, which told us that the Prophet called him Ashaj because the man had a major mark on his face. Any person who has a major mark on his face is called Ashajju. Ashajju is he has shajja. He has shajjatun aw atharun ala wajhihi aw jabinihi. He has a shajj. He has a mark on his face or on his cheeks. Such persons are called Ashajj. Most Yoruba people will qualify for this name because usually Yorubas have marks in the past. So if someone who has major marks on his face, he may be referred to as what? Ashaj. That's why in that report of Abdullah ibn Abbas in 586, Ibn Abbas said, radiallahu anhuma, qala an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam lil ashajji. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told al-Ashaj, which one? Which man who has marks on his face? So then he said, mufassiran, Ashajji Abdul Qais. That is the Ashaj, that man who has mark on his face, who is from Banu Abdul Qais. I hope that these three reports, we can sync them, bi'ithnillah. Ashaju Abdul Qais said, that is in 584, Qala li an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, Inna fika la khuluqayn. يُحِبُّهُمَ اللَّهُ. You certainly have two khuluq, two traits, two behaviors, two character, so to speak. إِنَّ فِيكَ لَخُلُقَيْنِ يُحِبُّهُمَ اللَّهُ. You have two ways you behave. These two ways that you behave, يُحِبُّهُمَ اللَّهُ. Allah likes those two behaviors. You have two character traits. يُحِبُّهُمَ اللَّهُ. Allah likes the two. قُلْتُ أَشَجُّ. Abdul Qais said, I asked, وَمَا هُمَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ. What are the two of them, O Messenger of Allah? قَالَ. The Prophet said, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, الْحِلْمُ وَالْحَيَاءُ. Al-Hilmu is, the scholars say, Al-Aql. Al-Hilmu is what? Al-Aql. Someone is very intelligent. We say he is Halim. If someone has Hilmu, we say he is intelligent. He is very brilliant. He is intelligent. He thinks well. He thinks deeply. He uses his intellect correctly. When a person is like this, we say he has what? Hilmu. Whether such a person could be a male or such a person could be a female. when you see somebody very intelligent, we say he has what? Al-Hilmu. So Ashadju Abdul Qais, he has what? Al-Hilm. He's a very intelligent person. Radiallahu anhu. He now also has Al-Hayau. He has modesty. He has modesty. He has Hayau. He has nobility. He is not a rash person. He's not an indecent person. Some people are brilliant. They have Hilmu, but they are coarse and indecent. Brilliant, but they speak indecently. They are coarse. They are abusive. Even though they are intelligent, they are not noble people. They employ their intelligence upon evil. They speak evil to people and behave badly to them. He's intelligent, but he may be rash, he may be coarse, he may not be a person of honor. But as for Ashadju Abdul Qais, he combines between these two noble characters, Ahabbahum Allah, that Allah likes, combines between two great things. The first one is what? Al-Aqlu, Al-Hilmu, he has big, deep intelligence. And the second one is what? Al-Hayau, is a person of modesty. Radiallahu anhu. These are two huge characters. And from the things we understand, the value of this character is that yuhibbuhum Allah. They are characters that Allah likes. Allah likes us to be intelligent. Allah likes us to be modest. Allah likes us to be intellectual. He likes us to be reasonable. In the same sense, he likes us to be honorable. You are reasonable and what? Honorable. You are intelligent and modest. These two things, Allah likes them like this in us. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Munzir ibn Aiz al-Ashadju, he told him these things. He asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is from the symbols of his intelligence. Radiallahu anhu. Someone says to you, you are intelligent and you are very honorable. How do you know that you are intelligent? How come? What is the proof? So he was asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qadiman kana aw haditha. Is it just something that is qadim? Have I always ever been like that, O Messenger of Allah? In other riwayat, in other expressions of this hadith, Al-Ashadju asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like in 587, he said, Jablan jubiltu alayhi aw khuliqa ma'i. He said, Jablan jubiltu alayhi. Was it that I was created like that? Is it jubili? So that is the meaning of being qadim here in 584. He said, qadiman kana. Have I always ever been like that? Was I created like that? Allah just made me like that. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aw haditha. Or it was something that I learned. Maybe because as I grew up, my father has al-hilmu and al-hayau. And I began to learn from my father. Or I began to learn al-hilmu, being intelligent, and al-hayau, being modest and honorable. Did I begin to learn it from my mother? Or did I learn it from our people? If it was like that, something that he learned, then it would be haditha. If it was something that he was born with, from the time that he was born with being a halim and being a hayy, the both of them together. He has Hilmu and Hayau. He was born like that, then that will be Qadim. That is the way Allah has created him. إخوة, there are a lot of benefits in this hadith. There are a lot of benefits in this hadith. Firstly, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the man, إِنَّ فِيكَ لَخُلُقَيْنِ يُحِبُّهُمَ اللَّهُ. You certainly have two characters that Allah likes. This is evidence that you can praise a person to his face. You can tell a man something good to his face. The Prophet told this man to his face, and there were people there. That was why you can see it reported by Abu Sa'id in al-Khudri. It was also reported by Abdullah ibn Abbas. If someone is good at something, if someone does something very well, you notice intelligence, you notice honor, you notice calmness, you notice some good character with an individual, you can tell him to his face in the presence of people. There is a hadith, we have also read it in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that al-mu'minu mir'atu akhihi. The person of Iman is the mirror of his brother. We always misinterpret this hadith, or that we interpret it to mean just one thing. If a mu'min is the mir'at, if he is a mirror to his brother, what do you see if you look at a mirror? The mirror does not only show you your faults. The mirror also tells you when you are looking good. It's not just about your faults. When you have a fault, the mirror will say that to you. When you are looking fine, already looking fine when you dress, you see that also in your mirror. But people employ this hadith only to disparage you when they want to insult you. They say, I'm your mirror. My mirror does not only tell me something bad about myself. My mirror also tells me what is good about me. So it is not all the time that we say to people to their face something that is bad. When people praise a learned person, Sheikh Muhyiddin Ajani passed away a few days ago. May Allah forgive this Sheikh. We grew up to know him as children. He was making scholarship at the time when we were kids. He was making mu'izah, recorded audios, saying a lot of things we grew up to now start to say. When I started to hear Baba Jokujoku, he started telling Yorubas that gathering in the places where a person dies after the person has died and organizing food in those gatherings, it is not from the religion. I took this from him as a child. He used to call people like that Baba Jokujoku. He was fair and clear. Now, the point why I referred to this was when people refer to him, they say he said truth to the power. It is not only when a person criticizes government, you say he says the truth to power. When government does something that is good too, don't fail to say what is good to them. This is the point. So in Islam, it is lawful to say to a people, like the Prophet said to the people of Yemen, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Ahlul Yemen, Ahlul Iman. The people of Yemen, they are people of what? Iman. Largely, their Iman is usually sound. Many of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, we are from Yemen. Abu Huraira was from Yemen. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri was from Yemen. In fact, the entirety of the Ansar were from Yemen, Aslan. Because Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj actually basically came from Yemen. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Ahlul Iman, Ahlul Yemen, Ahlul Iman. He called them the people of Iman and shyness, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you can praise a people to their face. You can praise a tribe to their face. You can praise an individual to his face. It is not wrong. The Prophet praised many companions, radiallahu anhum. He praised Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. He praised Umar. He praised many of them to their face. You can praise a person to his face, of course, as long as that will not imply make this man become proud. If that will not make him become proud, it will not make him become a person who now leaves that good thing that he was doing. Because sometimes when you praise a person like this, he begins to fall short. The praises destroy the individual. If he's a person that, bismillah, Allah has kept him firm, you see him so firm, clearly firm upon what he's doing, you can tell him to his face. So the Prophet here, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said to Munzir ibn A'iz al-Ashaj, Ashaju Abdul Qais, the Prophet said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna fika la khuluqain yuhibbuhum Allahu. You have two behaviors with you, you this man. Yuhibbuhum Allah. Allah likes those two. Allah likes those two behaviors. From his intelligence, you're a very intelligent person. Radiallahu anhu. He asked the Prophet alayhi salam, Wama huma ya Rasulallah. What are those two behaviors that I have, O Messenger of Allah, that Allah likes? This shows that the man actually has al-hilmu, because he asked about it, to further be grounded about it. He was not just pleased with that good was said about him. Inna fika la khuluqain yuhibbuhum Allah. Ah, I have two characters. Allah likes it. Alhamdulillah. You have not asked what are those characters. So from the intelligence of Al-Ashaju, he asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, Wama huma ya Rasulallah. What are those two traits, O Messenger of Allah? And the Prophet said to him, Al-Hilmu wal-Haya'u, being intelligent and being honorable. O brothers, it is very important to be intelligent, and it is very important to combine intelligence with what? A good sense of honor, a good sense of self-respect, a good sense of self-dignity, a person of dignity, a person of honor, that will be shown in your speech. It will be shown in your look. Honor and respect will be shown in your look. It will be shown in your speech. It will be shown in your conduct. So it was there in the conduct of Al-Ashaju, Ashaju Abdul Qais. So he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Qadiman kana aw haditha, that character you said that I have, was I born with them, or did I just learn them? The lesson here, O Ikhwa, is that character can be natural. We can be born with it. Character can be inborn. You have families where they are patient. Every one of them is a patient person. It is an inborn thing with them that they are patient. It is from the gift of Allah to his servants. And Allah gives whatever he wills to whomever he wills. It is inborn that they are patient people in their family. And in some families, it is inborn that they are harsh. There are narrations regarding this, but to make this discussion to be wide than I want, there are families even in the past, you find khushuna, they are tough people, they are harsh, they are difficult to relate with. Some people, they are given to arguments in their families. You say father is given to arguments. His children too are given to arguments. Some people are given to complaints. They complain about everything. Their father is like that. They are like that. Their grandfather was like that. Their great-grandfather was like that. So some characters can be inborn. The same thing, the same way you have, for example, a woman. I saw a woman a few days ago. Her mother had 11 children. My own grandmother also had 11 children. So you see, their children in the subsequent generation too can have a lot of children. So different things. It can be like this. It can be for the fact that some women are so nice to their husbands. If you go to their home, you see that their mother was always nice to her husband. Their own grandmother was nice to her husband. Their own grandmother was nice to her husband. So it goes like that. Being nice to a husband is also a favor from Allah. But in the case of Al-Ashaju, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he was very intelligent, radiallahu anhu, and he was having a high sense of honor and dignity, al-haya'u, that we refer to as being noble and being modest. These are two traits that he inherited. So a character trait can be inborn. Likewise, a character trait can be hadith. It can be new. It can be acquired. You can acquire some character, maybe from parents, because your parents learned it. You come back and learn it. You learn how to be patient. Maybe your friends, you have a friend in school who is very patient. You begin to work with him, and then by the time you know it, you have become patient too. We have cases like this. We have a lot of cases. You have a friend, you have a colleague, a seatmate, a colleague in the office. He has a particular character of minding his business, and he's your friend. By the time you know it, you get used to minding your business. You have some cases where a man would marry a woman. He has particular character. By the time you know it, you see that character in that woman. Sometimes we learn it deliberately. Sometimes we learn it unknowingly. So characters are usually and easily transferred from one person to the other. In that case, that character is hadith, is trained, is new, newly acquired. So Al-Ashaju asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Qadiman kana aw haditha. These two traits that I have that Allah likes, is it Qadim? Had they always been there with me? Was I born with them? Is it inborn? Or is this hadith? It is something that I learned. For us to understand, just by way of proving it from a text, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man tasabbara sabbarahullah. Whoever learns how to be patient, sabbarahullah. Allah grants him patience. You learn to be patient. You learn to be patient, sabbarakallah. Allah grants you patience. He also said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that al-hilmu bitahallumi. You learn to be intelligent. You become intelligent by learning to be intelligent. Al-hilmu. You learn to be sensible. You become sensible, bitahallumi, by learning to be sensible. And that hadith is hasan. So it means we can learn to be sensible. We can learn to be intelligent. We can learn to be intellectual. We were not like that before. Or you gradually become like that. So that is from the angle of learning a character. As for Al-Ashaju, he has Al-Hilmu and what? Al-Hayau. Al-Hilmu is that the man is very intelligent. He also has what? Al-Hayau. He was a person of modesty. This man, radiyallahu anhu, Al-Ashaju, after the Prophet said that to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, that his own was Qadim. You were born with it. You were born with intelligence. You were born with shyness and modesty. This man now said, radiyallahu anhu, alhamdulillahi alladhi jabalani ala khulukaini ahabbahum Allah. Alhamdulillahi alladhi jabalani ala khulukaini ahabbahum Allah. All praise, all thanks, all glorifications belong to Allah. Alladhi jabalani ala khulukain. That's Allah who has placed inside me right from birth. Ala khulukain. On he placed two characters inside me. What are those two characters? Al-Hilmu and Al-Hayau. Ahabbahum Allah. That he likes. I thank Allah who has made me to be born with two characters that he likes. All praises belong to Allah who has placed me, he created me upon two characters that he likes. This is evidence that a person may be born with particular good character. But the point of reference in this hadith was that man, he has a sense of carefulness. He has a good sense of diligence. You can see his questions to the Prophet itself is evidence of his aql and his evidence for his tasabbut and at-ta'akkul, and Adam al-Istrijal. The questions he was asking itself are evidences for that, maybe to further shed light on why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why did the Prophet praise this man? This man, Al-Ashajju, his name was Munzir ibn Man ibn Aiz Al-Asari. He is from the tribe called Abdul Qais, and they were residents in the southeast of the Arabian Peninsula. They came as a waft. They came as a delegation. They had already accepted Islam. How they accepted Islam, inshallah, I will narrate it to us in another class, because if I do that, it will take our time. They came to Islam. Their coming into Islam itself was a proof of the intelligence of Al-Ashajju. This man is Ibn, this man Munzir ibn Aiz. The way his tribe, Banu Abdul Qais, the way they came to Islam, before they came in a wufud, in a waft to the Prophet, they came as a delegation of their people to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were about 40. In some reports said they were between 14 and 40. In some reports said no, they were 40. 14 of them came on a ride. They were honorable people. Radiallahu anhum. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar in Fathul Bari, and likewise Al-Imam al-Nawawi in his Sharh on Sahih Muslim, and Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Ithiyuki in Al-Bahr al-Muhit al-Sajjaj, his Sharh on Sahih Muslim in Kitab al-Iman, he went to trace their names one after the other from the books of Hadith with good reference. Those of us who like to know these people by their names, we can go back to this. But there is a hadith here in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, that is hadith 585, that contains another person in that group apart from Al-Ashajju, that is Abu Nadra. Abu Nadra was also part of them, apart from Al-Munzir. Abu Nadra was also part of them, radiyallahu anhum. So they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in a delegation. Lama wassalu al-Madinata badaru ila al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they arrived in Medina, they rushed to quickly meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They arrived in the Prophet's masjid. They came on their rides. People started jumping down from their horses. The reason was that they are coming to Islam itself. They'd already respected the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It was about one of them. He came to trade in Medina, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to him. His name was Munkiz ibn Habban. He was a trader. Before he mentioned his name to the Prophet mentioned his name to him. You are Munkiz ibn Habban. You came from so place. And the Prophet started to preach to him. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. The Prophet taught him. He accepted Islam. The Prophet taught him Suratul Fatiha. He also taught him Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. This man was a man who returned to his tribe. He began to observe Salat. He began to make wudu. He began to observe ruku and sujood. His wife was the daughter of Al-Ashajj. The man was afraid to tell the people, Banu Abdul Qais, that he met the Prophet and that he had accepted Islam. So his daughter, the daughter of Al-Ashajj, who is the wife of Munkiz, was the one who noticed something strange with her husband. She went to tell her father, who is who? Al-Ashajj. And it was through Al-Ashajj that the rest of the people began to accept. He's listening to the husband of his daughter. Ashajj listening to the husband of his daughter, Munkiz ibn Habban. He listened to him. He gave him the letter the Prophet wrote, alayhi salatu wasalam. He listened to Surah Al-Fatiha. He saw him observing Salah. He said, don't be afraid. So one after the other, Al-Ashajju went round the tribe until many of them accepted Islam. So when they had accepted Islam in the ninth year of Hijrah, they came to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. When they arrived in Medina, they were already consumed because they had heard very good things about the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Badaru ila Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Each of them started jumping down from his beast of burden. They quickly went to the Prophet, kissing his hand, kissing his forehead, embracing him, you know, and all of these. They had, it's a great man, a Rasul from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa aqama al-ashajju inda rihalihim fajama'aha. But al-ashajju did not rush to the Prophet Muhammad. He gathered all their horses, jama'aha, wa aqala naqatahu. He also tied his own horse. The rest did not. They jumped down and rushed to the Prophet. He did not. He waited for the people. He gathered their horses and camels. He placed them somewhere. As for his own, he tied the camel. Walabisa ahsana thiyabihi. And then he opened his bag. He took his best clothes. You know, they were coming from a journey. They might have been looking dirty. So he took his best clothes. He wore, changed his clothes. He changed his look. Radiyallahu anhu. Thumma akbala ila Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was when he now moved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Waqarrabahu Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Wa ajlasahu ila janibihi. So the Prophet drew him close to himself. He embraced him. He hugged him and all of this. Wa ajlasahu ila janibihi. The Prophet made him to sit down by his side. Thumma qala lahum Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After their discourses with the Prophet, they said to the Prophet what they wanted. He commanded them four things. He prohibited them four things. And all a lengthy discussion in the books of Hadith. The Prophet said to him and to the group of Abdul Qais, he said, "Tubayyuna ala anfusikum wa qawmikum. Are you people going to give me an allegiance for yourselves, the 40 of you, all of you? Are you going to give me the oath of allegiance? And then for yourselves, and then for your tribe, will you assure me that you follow me, all of you, as individuals? And then you give me assurance that your people too, all of them, you guarantee you bring them to Islam. Tubayyuna ala anfusikum wa qawmikum. Are you going to give me the oath of allegiance for yourselves and for your people?" Faqala al-qawm, "Naam." The rest of people say, "Yes, yes, O Messenger of Allah." Faqala al-ashajju. Al-ashajju said again, "Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, innaka lam tuzawil ar-rajula ala shay'in ashadda alayhi min dinihi." You cannot, innaka lam tuzawil ar-rajula ala shay'in ashadda alayhi min dinihi. It is difficult to remove a man from something. The thing that is most difficult for you to remove a person upon is his religion. Messenger of Allah, it's hard to remove a man from the religion he's practicing. These people were mushrikun. It's difficult that when we get there, we just talk to them, they accept Islam. You see his akhl, you see his carefulness, you see his sense of honor by wearing his clothes and dressing properly. You see his deep sense of intellect by gathering the horses and tying his own camel, dressing properly. You see his intelligence. In all of that, the Prophet was watching him. And when the Prophet alayhi salatu salam now asked them, "Tubayyuna ala anfusikum wa qawmikum. Are you all going to accept the oath of allegiance? You give me oath of allegiance that you all will follow me, and then your people too, you bring them to follow me." Every person say, "Yes, yes, yes." Al-Ashadji said, "Ya Rasulallah, it is difficult." He said, radiyallahu anhu, "Innaka lam tuzawil ar-rajula ala shay'in ashadda alayhi min dini." You can't make a man to change anything more difficult for him to change than his religion. That is intelligence. That is being careful. He does not want to say, oh, Prophet, don't worry. Once we go back, they will change. He was being careful. He was being diligent. He was being honorable. Nubayyi'uka ala anfusina. We will give you oath of allegiance regarding ourselves. Watursil ma'ana man yad'uhum. You will now give us a learned person who will come with us and invite our tribe. Famani taba'ana kana minna. Any person who follows us, he becomes amongst us. Woman aba. But anybody who rejects and begins to fight us and contradicts us, qatalnahu. They will begin to make efforts regarding those persons. If the situation requires it, then we fight them. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sadaqta. You have said the truth. That was when the Prophet now told him that, inna fika la khuluqain. O Ashadju, you have two characters with you. Yuhibbuhumallahu. Allah likes those two characters. What are they? Al-hilmu wal-haya'u. You have hilmu. You think deeply. You are an intelligent man. Wal-haya'u. You are also a man of honor. Look at what the man did, radiallahu anhu. When they arrived, everybody was rushing to the Prophet. He did not rush. He came down calmly. He gathered the horses and the camels of those who had rushed. He put them together, radiallahu anhu. Mundhir ibn A'iz al-Ashaj, Ashaj Abdul Qais. He put them together. He came down from his ride. He opened his bag. He dressed properly. He went to meet the Prophet Muhammad. All of these are evidences of good intellect, good carefulness, good thinking, a good sense of honor and esteem, a good sense of self-respect, good diligence, and good carefulness. He displayed it. And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of you, come and take, you take the bayah, you take oath of allegiance, you follow me, and then you take it on behalf of your people. Is it what you want? The rest of them say, yeah, yes, nam. That is what we will do. He said, no, Messenger of Allah. It is difficult to change the religion of a man. A better thing to do is that we will give you oath of allegiance regarding ourselves. Radiallahu anhu. Nubayyi'uka ala anfusina. Watursilu ma'ana man yad'uhum. Famani taba'ana kana minna. Woman aba qatalnahu. You see the intelligence of al-Ashaju. Send with us one man who will come with us to teach the people. Any person who follows us, for who are ma'ana. For any person who rejects and begins to contradict us and fight us, qatalnahu, we'll make efforts on him. If he fights us, then we fight him, we bring him to Islam. And then the Prophet said, sadaqta, what you have said is what? Is truth. That was when the Prophet now said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna fika khaslatain, or inna fika khuluqain. You have two characters, O Ashaj. The first of these characters is that you are what? You have al-hilmu. The second of these characters is that you have what? Al-hayau. I think we can stop here today. We'll continue from here, inshallah, in the next class. You can see how honorable Al-Ashaj was, radiallahu anhu, Ashaju Abdul Qais. He was a very intelligent person, radiallahu anhu. He was a person with a good sense of honor, good sense of modesty, good character. He thought deeply, and the Prophet praised him for it, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I don't know whether we have a few questions we can attend to today. Ameen wa iyakum, Abu Amir, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Naam.
The first question reads, Sheikh, I have a question about the term al-hilm. I previously understood it to mean extreme patience, but I heard your explanation describing it as intelligence. I would be grateful if you could help me understand if it carries both meanings or if my initial understanding needs correction. Jazakumullahu khair.
Ameen wa antum fa jazakumullahu khair. Al-hilmu Many of the scholars have explained what al-hilm is. Al-hilm, many of the scholars have explained what literally al-hilm is. And many of them started by saying al-aql. In fact, some will say al-hilm al-aql. Some of them will say as if directly the meaning of al-hilm is al-aql. Why is it like that? If you say al-hilm is al-ana, being careful, what the thabutu fil umur, and that you want to verify matters properly. A Sheikh Hussein al-Awaisha in his sharh on al-adab al-mufrad says, وَذَلِكَ مِنْ شِعَارِ الْعُقَلَى. For you to have al-ana, al-ana is holding back, not just jumping into matters, not being hasty. And at tathabbut, you always want to carefully look at something properly before you do it. The scholars say, ذَلِكَ مِنْ شِعَارِ الْعُقَلَى. These two things are from the traits of reasonable people. So the foundation of al-hilm is what al-aql. If you don't have aql, you can't have al-hilm. If the foundation of al-hilm is what al-aql. Once you have aql, don't worry, you have hilm. So that's why it's good to start with it. You can, if you are not an intelligent person, you can't be a person who wants to verify everything you want to do. So that's why the scholars say that al-anatu wa tathabutu. Yes, al-hilm means al-ana, being careful, wa tathabut, finding out about something properly before you do it. These are the two things you refer to as al-hilm. But these two things are not possible without what? Al-aql. So if we interpret it to mean al-aql, we are talking about the source of it. If we interpret it to mean al-ana, being careful and having a tathabut, finding out something properly before you do it, we are talking about the manifestations. It's about looking at it from the source. What sources it? What starts it? What must you have before you can have al-hilm? That is what al-aql. But in that manifestation of your aql, you must manifest al-ana, being careful about matters. And then you manifest at tathabbutu fil umur. You verify things properly before you do them. These are the shi'ar of Allah. Your intellect will guide you to those two things. So it depends on where you look at it from. If you look at it just merely from the manifestation, you will say that al-hilmu is al-anatu wa tathabut. If you look at it from the source of it, the source of that is what good aql, good intelligence, good brilliance, brilliant mind, intelligent mind. I hope that this is clear. It depends on where you start it from. If you start it from the source of it, is al-aql. That's why many of them said it. They will say that al-hilm al-aql. Once he has aql, he will have hilm. But if he does not have aql, forget about hilm. If a person is not intelligent, whether naturally or by something that he learned, don't ask him whether he'll be finding out properly about what he does. He will not find out properly because he's basically a stupid person. May Allah protect us. I hope that that is clear, Abu Amr. Abu Amr.
No, Sheikh, I'm not sure. What's the matter? I'm just
asking. I hope that's clear.
No, Sheikh.
Okay, Bismillah.
Now, the next question reads, concerning the name Abdul Qais, this is Al-Qais from the names of Allah.
Al-Qais is not from the names of Allah. But don't forget that it was a tribe from the tribe of the Arabs. And they were there in the days of Jahiliyyah. So that is their name. Like you mentioned the forefathers of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One of them was Abd Manaf. They begin to ask, is Manaf from the names of Allah? No. These were names that Arabs bore in the days of Jahiliyyah. So the name of their tribe, the head of the tribe was Abdul Qais. But Al-Qais is not from the names of Allah. I hope that that is clear.
Naam, Shaykh. Still regarding names of Allah. The next question is, Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. May Allah bless you in the knowledge He has given you. Is the name of Allah Al-Halim from the same source as of the word Al-Hilm? Please clarify.
Al-Hilm comes, Al-Halim of course comes from that basic attribute. But don't forget that, yes, even if the names would appear the same, the meaning should be basic. Lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. No servant can be equaled or made equivalent with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah bears these names, these realities in its absolute sense. Allah bears these names. He has these attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the absolute sense. He takes the time, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He looks at it. He is Al-Halim. And that, of course, is connected to his attribute of Al-Ilm. He is absolutely knowledgeable. Because those attributes of Allah are connected to one another. So he's being a Halim, the one who absolutely is diligent about a matter. He is careful. That is the basic meaning of Al-Hilm. Allah is like that too. He does not just do something. Don't forget, he is Al-Hakim. How will somebody be Hakim and he will do something just anyhow? He is Al-Alim. He is absolutely knowledgeable. How will he be absolutely knowledgeable, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will not have Al-Hilm? These two things coordinate that Hilm. So he is Al-Halim. He is absolutely diligent in all that he does. He has Al-Ana. He holds back, looks at it, because he has those two basic things, subhanahu wa ta'ala, connected to that attribute of Al-Hilm. And that's why you find that no matter how sinful a person is, Allah still gives them time. Something connected to that too is Ar-Rahmah, mercy. Look at Firaun. Allah was still giving him time. He was doing it. Musa was calling him. Musa was preventing him. Musa was showing him signs. In all of that, there is Allah's Hilm connected to it. He's being Al-Halim. Allah is Al-Halim. He was waiting for him in his wisdom, give him more time, give him more rope. So when it became clear to anyone who hears this story will know that he has given him more time. That comes from the hikmah of Allah and then from his knowledge too. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, فَلَمَّا أَسَفُونَا انْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ. When they angered us, they took it too far. So, but they had enjoyed his hilm, they'd enjoyed the time he gave them from his ana, from his ilm, from his hikmah, subhanahu. He gave them all the time. So it is from it, but he has it in the absolute sense, without restriction. Human beings, our own hilm, of course, no matter how nice a person would be, having al-ana, having at-tathabbut fil umur, he will still fail in cases that he did not think well before he did it. He did not judge well, he did not. And all of these will come from the defects of human beings. As for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his own attributes are in the absolute perfect sense. No error is ascribed to it. No error comes from it. In fact, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is far above imperfections. I hope that it is clear.
Naam, Shaykh, and salawatu alaykum.
Ameen wa iyaakum. Can we have this as the last question for today?
Naam, Shaykh. Exactly, no, sir. Ameen wa iyaakum. Would it be acceptable to apply carefulness when people come to the masjid to beg for alms, whether their claims are true or not?
If you confirm that it is true, your confirming is at the thabut. Your confirming is at the thabut. Al-ana is your holding back to be sure that things are actually as narrated. So that comes from your akal, from your sense, from your intelligence. Once the man begins to narrate, your akal begins to interpret, begins to try to connect the reports. That will tell you what to do, how to be careful, how not to jump into conclusion. Sometimes the person narrating to may be a very intelligent person. He would have given a narration that is perfectly sensible, that you find it difficult to think that he's not telling the truth. In fact, some of the things he will say will be things that you know. So once you can, that's why, like we said, the foundation of al-hilmu is what? Al-aql. If the person is not aqil, it will be difficult for him to have al-hilm. You have to be intelligent and sensible. It may be that you were born like that, and it may be that you learned how to be sensible and intelligent. You might have learned it, and it might have been inborn. So it can be jibilij. It can also be what? Maktasabi, as we have read in this hadith. It can be qadim. It can also be what? Hadith. So once you confirm from your diligence and your sense that this man is saying the truth, then the other hadith applies, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that at-tu'udatu fi kulli shay illa fi amali al-akhirah, holding back occurs in everything except in the deeds of akhirah. Once you confirm that this man is not a thief, it's not a deceit, it's not a cheat, it's not taking advantage of us, then you hasten to help him. You hasten to help him. In all these that we are saying, we take you just the time between his narration and 10 or 15 minutes after the narration. You get a maximum. Sometimes you get to that conclusion as he's narrating, and then you help. But if you confirm that he needs help, then you should help him. Should help, you should not delay the help. Once it is known that it's not a lie, it's not a cheat, it's not a deceit, then you hasten to help. Don't hold back again. Don't start delaying unnecessarily, because shaitan is coming to tell you not to help. Don't release your money because you get poor. Don't release your money because you know there are expenses at home today. He starts giving you reasons why you should not spend for the sake of Allah. So we need a lot of intelligence in these matters. You need to be very brilliant in it. If you are not a very brilliant person, follow a person you know is always brilliant. I always say this to people. Sometimes a person's life, day-to-day affairs, makes it clear to him that I'm not very intelligent. Just like day-to-day affairs, it becomes clear that so-and-so person is very intelligent. You can be making use of his own intelligence. Ask him, what do you think? What do you see? By that, you're also learning. You make use of the intelligence of the person who is intelligent. You make use of the knowledge of the person who is knowledgeable to take guidance, to know what you will do, to take your own steps. If you are not a very intelligent person, if you have an intelligent person, you tell him, please speak on our behalf. Because that was one of the things that Al-Ashajju was. He was the head of Abdul Qais tribe. Al-Ashajju was the head of the tribe. He spoke for them. Did you not see that once the Prophet needed a clear-cut answer from any one of them, it was him who was speaking? And there are clear-cut reports that he was the head of the group, Al-Ashajj, radiallahu anhu. So if we confirm things, then we proceed without allowing shaitan to hold us back. Likewise, when we confirm that it's a cheat, it's a deceit, we know your intellect will tell you what next to do. In some cases, you may need to hand over some people to police. In some cases of fraud, you need to hand them over to police. In some cases, you need to sit them down to admonish them, to teach them what to do, how to get out of this situation, and things like that. I hope that it is clear, Abu Amr.
No, you're sure. أسألكم
جزاك الله خير، آمين، بارك الله فيك. We come back to class in the next week inshallah.
إن شاء الله. جزاك الله خير.
آمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.